This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Good Saturday evening, everybody. This is Mona and Noah Saves the World, although unfortunately Mona is out today, so it is just Noah Saves the World. I've been trying all week long to get somebody to come on the show with me, but it is a busy, busy week here at Tufts. I think a lot of people have midterms and quizzes and tests next week. I know I do one every day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not looking forward to that. But I am looking forward to a great hour here, and I think I'll just be talking sort of to myself maybe in this sort of dark studio because all the lights are off. And I think opening with that song, One More Robot, /Sympathy 3000-21, I'll talk about sort of robots and cyborgs and AI and sort of the future, I think, is a really, really cool theme to maybe just ponder on and chat about. So that song by The Flaming Lips, an amazing band who's just always outperforming themselves, is, I think, one that poses a really interesting question about our humanity and if a robot can learn to feel and develop emotion, what sort of differentiates it between a piece of metal and then something that is truly alive? And I think, personally, I feel that, like, a machine could have just as much sort of humanity as a person, I think, is my take on it. Even if it's programmed, I think at some point it develops enough of a consciousness and it moves beyond simple wiring. Which, I mean, I think humans, like, when we look at it, a lot of our neural processes is electrical. How different from a starting point are we from robots? I think it's interesting to ask. So I definitely think that robots at an advanced enough place could become humans. And then it's a question of, well, would they make better people than us? And then, of course, you have to define, like, what does it mean to be a good person? would a robot that's better than humans not be able to be sad? Would that be ideal? I think a lot of people might fight that, say no, sadness is pretty important to us. It helps define us, and a robot maybe couldn't be compared to a human if it couldn't be sad. It wouldn't be better, it would be lesser, which I think is interesting. I don't know, would a better... What about then the sort of the matter of cyborgs? If a human had sort of a mechanical implant or mechanical addition sort of for the sake of improving their capacity, like if we could install new eyes that let us see ultraviolet light or let us see heat, sort of like snakes, that would be certainly something. Would it make us better humans? Would it maybe be a sensory overload and overwhelm us, and we'd lose some of our other capacity? Perhaps we're not better because we just physically and like mentally couldn't handle all that additional input. I've heard that sort of challenge posed to perhaps why humans can't do more, why we don't have more like magical special abilities. Perhaps it would be too overwhelming, and perhaps we're sort of functioning at a pretty optimal level for our neural capacity right now. Something interesting to think about. What else though? If you could have a cyborg attachment, you could attach another a limb that was stronger or could lift more than before. I think that's very possibly a path humans will go down in the future. One of just self-enhancement through machine. I think people will definitely fear it at first, but I think a few sort of brave, maybe a little reckless individuals will say, I'll do it. It'll go well for them. They'll gain fame and success, and then before you know it, it'll be pretty natural to walk around and just see everybody half human, half machine. Really just all human, but humans who are capable of doing more than humans today are. I know, it's interesting. Definitely something to think about. And that, kind of want to tie it into the next song that I want to play, which is perhaps about humanity and about maybe the limits of humans. And even though we may improve ourselves physically, I guess a really important question is, like, could we alter using machines sort of our emotions? And could we create implants that could help us better feel empathy, or better feel our own emotions and process them more, not efficiently, but in a healthier way, perhaps? I think that would be interesting, and it's sort of an idea posed by Christina Perry in her song Human. So here that is, and I hope you all enjoy.
You fill me up and then I fall apart, 'cause I'm only human.
What a fun and just really, I think, very emotionally powerful song, and just a beautiful one at its core. I think it has a good message, too, that maybe it doesn't really directly deal with being a machine, but I think it says something about the need for humans to, like, how we want to do so much, but how at the end of the day, like, we do have constraints, both physically but also really emotionally, and there's only so much we can go through before perhaps we break. And perhaps that's what a sort of robotic human could avoid, is pushing those limits further and further, and better enabling oneself to just take on more and more and more, which maybe not be the best. Maybe that's the opposite of what we should be going for. Perhaps instead of, like, perhaps it's dangerous to think in this way of, like, how can we make ourselves more efficient and better workers and better at, like, handling emotional burdens, and maybe instead of finding sort of solutions to maybe what are symptoms, we should ask, like, maybe I shouldn't have to work so hard and be up all the time and always feel like I'm nonstop. And maybe that's a better way of framing the situation than, how can I be better at this, instead of, why do I need to be so good at this, and why can't I take some time off? Why can't we all slow down a little bit and relax? And as Mona and I were talking about last week, participate in some self-care. I'm trying to reflect on this past week and think, did I accomplish any means of performing self-care? And I don't know that I did, unfortunately. I went to a drag show last night, which was a lot of fun, an amazing time. Don't know if I would say it was self-care, because it was very dynamic and very energetic, and I felt very engaged. So self-care in a way that I was very happy and very comfortable and very relaxed, but I was not sort of zoned out, which some may definitely desire when attempting to do self-care. But it was a good time. Definitely recommend if you're not too busy this Saturday night, Sunday night, go out, have some fun, have a great time. I think we're human. We may only be human. Maybe we could be better, but I think it's definitely good to be thankful sort of for what we have and what we are able to do and realize how much we can do, even though we may just be sort of flesh and bone and no metal underneath our skin. Which is interesting. Humans are capable of so much. It's pretty spectacular, I think. I guess something also to think about, in this vein of man and machine and a combination of those two, is artificial intelligence, which exists in part today. There are certainly machines that can grow and think and learn for themselves and can do some pretty amazing things. I mean, I'm surrounded by machines that are broadcasting my words all the way to you, which I think is just something else. And beyond that, we have machines sort of searching the cosmos and interpreting sort of waves, a lot of radio waves, I think, being interpreted interestingly enough. And I think that's all pretty amazing. And machines that are learning from other machines, or I guess less machine and more like codes and programs, definitely think I need to take computer science class next semester if I have space in my schedule. I think we truly live in an age where programs are quite behemoth in their capabilities, and being able to make those programs or understanding how those programs work is pretty important. I think there's a big sentiment here on the Tufts campus that even if you're, say, an American studies major, you know, studying the power structures of America and things like that, or even if you're a classics major and you're studying ancient Greek and ancient Latin and trying to analyze the history, it's still almost useful to have a computer science degree, because what if you want to make an online database, or what if you want to, simulate restoration work, or attempt to create some type of simulation of, like, the American political system at large, if you're, say, an American studies major. And especially, that's for even if you're not in sort of a STEM field. As somebody more in a STEM field, I think every week in my chemistry class, we have a guest lecturer come in to talk to us about sort of what's going on in the world of chemistry and what people are researching here at Tufts. And it is overwhelming the amount of simulation and how much chemistry now. I mean, chemistry still happens in labs. Don't take that away from this, but how much chemistry can happen in a computer lab, and the capabilities of simulations, whether you're simulating sort of organic compounds and proteins and how they fold, that's sort of all the rage today, is how many proteins can we fold, and instead of having to do it in a lab, you could just do it online because we can simulate it, which I think is pretty cool. And everyone's trying to build better and better simulations, and you have to know how the simulations work and if the simulation potentially has any errors, how to interpret that. So it's really crazy, and I think it's maybe crazy how the world is changing so quickly, and how computer science, which was not the most relevant maybe a couple generations ago, it was so, so immensely different from the computer science of today, where everybody's sitting in front of their own personal screen, and working on that and typing code and whizzing away, I think is pretty crazy. As I said earlier, though, I do hope everybody is having an exciting Saturday night. It's a great break from the weekday, and so if anybody's going out tonight or going partying tonight, here's maybe a song to get you in the mood. It is Automaton by Jamiroquai. Here it is.
Thank you.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. Automaton by Gemma Rokai. I think it's just a fun, upbeat song. No great meaning or message or theme to take away, but definitely just a fun time. A fun time to just sort of dance around, enjoy yourself. I certainly wish Mona were here. I would love to hear all of her, I'm sure, very opposite from mine, takes on sort of robots and technology. Speaking of which, something I'm able to do because Mona's not here, is the PSA very loudly and proudly. So this is your PSA of the hour. It is, know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, no officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you. Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. This has been a public service message from the EFF and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. It is always fun to hear about what we have the legal right to and what we don't, especially in this new technological era. So, if you're ever going to sort of a civil disobedience event, or a protest where you fear there might be some conflict, I highly, 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 highly recommend. I know most of us have a touch print ID, fingerprint ID, and even now face ID is becoming more and more common. If you have those on, please, please, please turn those off. Set it only to the like 4-digit passcode or the 6-digit passcode or unlimited digit passcode so that you and your phone and your information can truly be safe. It's yours. You deserve to feel secure in that knowledge that it's protected and safe and that nobody can access it. But as long as you have that fingerprint or that face ID, you are not secure. So be very mindful of that. And sometimes the best thing you can do if you're going to an action is leave your phone at home. If you think there's any potential risk of sort of police attempting to use your phone against you, leave it at home. Don't take it with you. Your phone can almost always be tracked pretty much, so do your best. If you fear anything, it's definitely better to leave it at home when not absolutely necessary. So, another bit of friendly advice. Who knows, maybe it'll all change when we have phones more sort of just naturally implanted into our brains, just when our world is fully touched by electronics. That would certainly be interesting to see how this sort of new, completely unheard of precedents and idea is interacted with by our legal system, which has stood for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and is based off of legal systems spanning hundreds of years before it. So that'll definitely be interesting to see how that all progresses. Hopefully we can retain some autonomy over ourselves, even if we are part machine. So, yeah, I think that's something to think about, something to talk to your friends and family about, not just going to EFF.com and .org, that is EFF.org, and learning about what rights you have, but talking to your friends and maybe talking to legislators about what rights you feel you should have, and should anybody be able to go through your phone? Should if you have a chip implanted into your brain, should anybody be able to go through that? Or is it yours? Is it sort of sacred to you? Definitely just, I know, something to think about, something to talk about. And I think that brings us to the interesting idea of maybe virtual reality, which is something that's becoming actual reality today. Maybe not as widespread and multifunctional as it potentially can be, but at least for video games, virtual reality is becoming very useful. I think a lot of new startups like to build sort of demos and something fun in virtual reality as a sort of gimmick to get people interested. Because it's an amazing tool that allows us to enter into sort of a different world and sort of any world that we want and worlds that we can build for ourselves. And I think that's really shows a lot of promise, and I think it could change a lot of people's lives, give people the ability to live in new ways. I definitely think it's important to consider who will have access to this, and I think if we begin to venture into the world of virtual reality, it'll be important to make sure that everybody has access to these new and exciting worlds. But I think it's very possible that instead of going into work, having a conference in work, it'll be very possible to potentially simulate in virtual reality workplaces. Already it exists that you could do, say, like morning yoga. I'm sure, I know that there are programs out there if you have a VR headset of your own that you can join a group of people from around the world. Everybody turns off their microphones and you just do yoga together and relax. Perhaps the future of self-care is in virtual reality spaces. It's also a way that provides people to connect with friends, with family, with all sorts of people, with strangers from around the globe. It potentially, if humans go explore other planets, who knows, maybe we could even have virtual reality that allows us to interact across space. Although, of course, there is some delay if you're trying to go from, like, say, the Earth to Mars. There's a bit of a delay in signal. But who knows? Perhaps that will be more possible. Perhaps in 10 years, we'll all be able to put on VR headsets and possibly even a bodysuit that simulates reality, and we can all experience space or experience life on a new planet. Or who knows? Honestly, the possibilities seem to be endless, and I don't know what the limiting factors could be. I think when I was younger, I had this book of sort of wacky gadgets, and one of them was the smell pod, and it was sort of like a phone or like a... yeah, like a phone, but instead of ear pods or earbuds, they had nose buds, and you could produce any smell you wanted. And the book was sort of a joke book, but who knows, maybe we will have scents that we'll be able to experience even though we may be sitting in our living rooms. Maybe we'll be able to smell roses in the gardens of Versailles comfortably in our living room. The possibilities really are quite amazing, and I think I'm looking forward to virtual reality, and I think a lot of people will probably want to plug in. I can't blame them. Who knows? Maybe in 10 years, half of our population will be permanently plugged into VR, and the other half will be here in this world, and maybe some people will switch in between. Who knows? perhaps the future of humankind is purely online. I don't see why it's not possible. So, I'm trying to now incorporate another song. I really sort of liked the sort of industrial, maybe sort of electronic feel of that last song, Automaton. So I thought of a different song that I know that has that sort of vibe. And actually, this band, which is Daft Punk, in all of their music, they sort of incorporate this very sort of electronic and sort of robotic aspect that I think is really cool. And I know I certainly enjoy listening to it. This is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. I hope you also enjoy listening to it. As I said, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk. Enjoy. Is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by Daft Punk. I really do just enjoy that sort of synthetic musical feel. I think it's just so much fun, and I think it's crazy to me that synthesized music is, in the grand scheme of things, just such a recent technology and such a new way of doing things. Especially, I feel in that way of having almost the entire thing probably be more or less made online. And nowadays, I feel it's pretty natural for most musicians to incorporate some electronic element into their music, at least for a lot of the music I listen to, which I'm sure is very, very biased in the sample, but still, I think it's quite interesting how much even something like music has changed as a result of new technologies that have recently been developed. So, yeah, honestly, it's crazy stuff. It's a crazy world, for sure, that we live in. Wow, I'm trying to... It's definitely not as fun to do this alone. Really, missing Mona. Shout out to her. Feel like I don't appreciate her enough, because when we're on together, we're just having so much fun, sort of in the moment. And you don't realize sort of what you got until it's gone. Although, of course, we will both be back together next week here to do this show for y'all. So she's not gone. She's just busy tonight. I think she is performing in the comedy show tonight with Tufts Funny Ladies. I believe the time for that is 9 o'clock. Highly recommend everybody go out, head out. It is hopefully going to be pretty funny in Robinson 253 from 9 to 10 p.m. Yeah, if you have the time, looking for something fun to do tonight, don't want to go out clubbing, then go have some laughs. Mona will be there, I'm sure, being quite funny. She's setting it up now so that you all can enjoy it later. I think it'll be a great time. I think they do skits, mostly comedy skits. So I'm sure they've planned out and written some great humor, some great sketches, sort of like a live SNL. Because we are so far from New York. So I think it'll be a great time here at Tufts. Plenty of fun. Don't know if there are tickets, but I assume it's probably, don't take my word for it, probably free for everyone. Yeah, strongly recommend it if you're looking to laugh some. I know we could all do with more laughing in our lives. Yeah, so TFL tonight, Robinson 253 from 9 to 10. Be there or be square. Back to talking of the digital world. I don't even know what there is left to cover. I guess maybe automation. Automation is gonna happen. It's here, folks. It's knocking on the door, and I think it's promising. I think it's interesting how in today's society, automation is perhaps something to be feared. Because it means people losing their jobs and people not being able to work anymore, which it's kind of sad that people are maybe mad about not being able to work when maybe people work too much these days, tying it sort of all back to that beginning concept that I was talking about, that maybe we shouldn't need to sort of improve ourselves, make ourselves be able to work harder, better, faster, or stronger, as Daft Punk might say. But instead, be able to not have to work as hard. We don't have to be better. We are good enough as we are. And we don't need to always be on. We can maybe let the machines do the work for us. And although there's definitely problems of money and people need to eat and be able to pay rent. I do think it would be pretty, pretty nice if we all worked a good deal less because machines and robots could fill in for us. And I think in sort of a more rational society, we would all sort of be hurrying automation up as quickly as we could so that we could all spend more time at home, maybe with our families or the ones we love, or maybe playing sports or reading. I know. How much would I read if I had the time? Hopefully a lot more. Definitely, it's nice to read. So, in sort of, maybe in, to pay homage to the robots who hopefully will one day be doing the work so that we don't have to, here's a classic, very old song. Let's see, 36-year-old song, I think, if my math isn't atrociously wrong. This is Mr. Roboto by The Styx. So, classic. I'm sure you'll all recognize it once it starts playing, and I hope you enjoy.
Mr.
What a song. That is Mr. Roboto by The Styx. Honestly, just... I feel like it's a... Everybody knows the sort of the chorus of it, but nobody, I feel, really actually has listened to it, perhaps. That honestly might be one of my first times, and some crazy stuff. I think... I mean, it's always maybe a conversation that needs to be had when we talk about robots, and maybe it's more likely that a use of robots will legally hurt us, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, our use of technology and how that could potentially be damaging for our rights. How will we be able to guarantee that we have autonomy in an age of automatons? Very interesting, but also maybe sort of how could robots dehumanize us as it's posed in Mr. Roboto. Maybe there is something unique and special and valuable in being purely flesh and bone and purely exclusionary machines. And I think it's also just sort of always posed, at least in any fun horror movie, what if robots take over? I mean, I think perhaps we could code around that, but who knows? Maybe it takes one person coding maliciously to build a machine that fights against humans. I mean, there are already definitely weaponized drones and self-seeking missiles that exist and are constantly being used in other countries by the U.S., we are a pretty hostile country, and we are dropping bombs nonstop. So I'm sure technology has definitely made us more lethal, which is not great if we're hurting civilians. So that's certainly something to consider, is when is technology being used for the wrong reasons, and maybe what things could be better if they hadn't been automated? Sort of, what have we lost in this new digital world? I think a lot of people like to say, oh, we no longer know how to sympathize with one another, and I don't know about that. I think I have some pretty real and meaningful friendships, but who knows? Who knows what the children of tomorrow will face in their technological worlds? It's definitely fun to think about, definitely fun to just chat about on air, and I hope everybody has an amazing night. Whether you go to a club, relax at home, go to the Tufts, the TFL show, lots of great stuff to do tonight. Glad you spent part of it with me. This is Mona and Noah, but tonight just Noah saves the world. And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free From Radio. And we are going out how we came in with The Flaming Lips. This is the song that I first heard of theirs that got me into the band, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots Part 1. Maybe about, some people speculate it's potentially about cancer, a young girl with cancer. Other people think it's about the robot invasion. So, regardless, I hope you enjoy listening to it. I know I will, and thank you for listening, and good night.
programmed to destroy.